What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery,
Camp Chef,
Novix Outdoors,
and caffeine support provided by Deer Camp Coffee.
Hey guys, welcome to the Bowhunter Planet Podcast. I hope you're having a wonderful night. Tim and I today have a great guest, Brandon, here from Strut and Buck. And this is a show, it's been around a long time. And as long as I can remember, actually. So Brandon, I guess tell us the history of the show.
So we kind of got off and running and not very seriously to start out with. And I think we started filming our first hunts back in 2007. We aired our first year on the Sportsman's Channel actually in 08, starting in July of 08, I think it was. And kind of ran there for a couple years, and then the economy kind of crashed, you know, in the end of 08, first of 09 there. And we actually pulled the show back and just did it locally out of a network, a Fox network here out of the state that we live in, which is Arkansas. Ran it there for a couple years, and then the Pursuit Channel kind of came along. And through that time, we'd kind of gotten to know some more people in the industry because we were pretty much green. I mean, back then there was no YouTube. I mean, YouTube was around, but I mean, nobody was using YouTube or anything like that at the time. It was TV or nothing, basically. So we kind of got to know some people in the industry and some people with some companies and kind of made some connections and kind of felt like we might make another run at the national deal. And the Pursuit Channel came along, and those guys were super good to us starting out. Of course, they were starting out also. And we kind of started airing with them. I believe it would have been in probably 11 or 12, and have been there since. So it's been a lot of years. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but whenever you start counting it up, it's been a while.
That's how it always goes.
Probably a lot of great memories, right?
Oh my gosh, tons and tons. You know, we started this thing just kind of, you know, playing around and doing it and thinking it'll last a couple of years. And then here we are 13, 14 years later, and it's still going strong as ever.
Did you ever see that actually happening though? Or is this kind of one of those like pipe dreams that just turned into real life?
I mean, I don't think any of us saw it lasting as long as it's lasted. I mean, don't get me wrong. There was multiple times that we were kind of ready to throw in the towel. You know, there's a lot of tough years in there.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like anything in life. The stuff that lasts and keeps going is when you think you want to quit, then you just got to dig in deeper and, you know, keep going. And that's kind of what we did. And it's always managed to kind of pay for itself. Maybe not always make money, but at least pay for itself. And, you know, really the last 5 years, I feel like we've gained as much traction as we have, you know, the 10 years before that, even.
I feel the same way. I feel like it's a mirror. Like, I feel like I'm talking to a mirror. This business is always the same way.
And if you listen to the experts, you know, the digital thing is big now. And, you know, there's no money in TV, and you can't make it in TV. And really for us, the last 5 years have been the best years that we've had.
So So how do you guys stay motivated, right? Because it's got to be kind of a struggle at times, right? To dig deeper and actually push through those kind of, and I'm not going to say hard times, because what you're doing for a living, right, is an absolutely amazing thing. Being able to hunt and live out your passion on camera is awesome. But how do you guys stay motivated doing that?
Well, part of our deal, and it makes us a little bit different, is the only one that's working in the industry full time would be my partner Heath. And it's not through the show. It's through the content creation and the marketing firm. Every one of the rest of us has a full time job also that we do. And so it does get hard at times, especially balance and all that. But we have a great team. And, you know, it was, I don't know how long, it's probably been about 7 or 8 years ago, I found myself putting a lot of pressure on myself, and I just had to take a step back. And I'd hunted for 7 or 8 years with a camera every time I'd ever been in a tree or hunting. And I took a step back and took a few hunts and went on an elk hunt with my dad and did not worry about filming in there or anything like that. And just kind of gave myself a reset and some time off like that, and it actually helped me and to not take it as serious. And it seems like when we don't take it as serious and turn it into that stress and everything, because everything goes better and everything seems to work better, and we end up killing more stuff, it seems like. And at the end of the day, we started doing this because we love it, we have fun, and if we're not having fun, then I mean, we're just not going to do it. I mean, to us, hunting together, filming it, I mean, we love the production side because we produce everything ourselves and always have. We love both sides of it. I'm just as good running a camera or just as happy sitting behind a camera as I am sitting behind my bow. So, and everybody on our team is like that. And we've, over the years, we've had bigger teams and smaller teams, but I mean, we've got 4 guys now, including myself, that really get it, and it's all about having fun and having a good time and producing some really good content. I mean, we love to try and produce some high quality content, you know.
I think this industry is interesting in the fact that I agree with you 100% everything you just said, and I feel like for us, we had been stressed out a lot trying to create a show, and we thought, oh, we need to create a show. So we created 2 hunting shows, and we thought, man. But the problem was, is we never felt, we never had the deer, number one. So it was very stressful trying to get in front of the deer.
That's Michigan.
So that's, yeah, mainly Michigan issues. Yeah. But so, you know, that's kind of how it kind of tiered for us. But then all of a sudden, we realized that what we did good, what we did right, was not the shows. What we did right was our test live show, which is a review show on YouTube, and that was what we did good. Mm-hmm. And then when we found our voice in the podcast, we found we do this good. And my point being is that there is no stress with these 2 shows. Like these 2 shows, we know them. We're inside out. Tim and I got this. Like it to us, this is fun. We enjoy it. We enjoy talking to you. We enjoy talking to people. It's a good time. It's also I really love hearing the stories of other people in the industry, because you start to realize like, wow, I'm not alone. Everybody felt this same way. And it makes you think a little bit differently about everything you've been through and how you've, you know, managed to keep going. You made the comment that, you know, your last 5 years has been the best. We've always had a better year the next year. And that's part of the reason I feel like we've kept going as well. And really for me, it's always been the consumer. Like when the consumer says like, oh man, thanks so much for doing this video, I really needed this because I was trying to find this bow, whatever. It kind of made me feel like, man, I got to like keep doing this for the heritage aspect, right? If I'm not helping get other bow hunters hunting, like what am I doing? I want to leave a legacy that when the archery industry, when this is all over and bow hunter planet's goner, they're like, that Dave Thomas guy, man, he really did a lot for our industry. He was helping, you know. That's to me what I don't want to lose, you know, when I think of it. But I want to transition real quickly though to your guys' quality, because I feel like your quality is really, really, really good. And I guess can you walk us through that part of it? When you talk about the production level, I'm looking at your stuff and I'm thinking this level's kind of like, you know, at the top premiere of level of quality. So what are you guys using? How do you guys set these up to get the good footage? And how does that kind of come about, I guess?
Well, we kind of came up in the video film space when the documentary type, I'm trying to think of some guys that really do it with Heartland Bowhunter type, that film type look when everybody was still using video cameras and we kind of switched over to the DSLR side of things and that more of that film type look. That's just what we started in when that was all oncoming and coming into the hunting industry at that point in time when we were kind of getting going. And we just kind of, that's kind of what we focused on. And then we've just tried to upgrade our equipment over the years as we do it. And obviously Heath being in the content creation business and stuff, that's helped us a lot also as far as gaining equipment and access and learning how to use it, things like that. But the biggest thing is that upgrade in equipment, and the DSLR technology. And now we've moved to the mirrorless type cameras, like your Sony A7 series type cameras. And that's pretty much everything that we film is filmed on that type of camera, and that's the quality. Heath originally started, he was our editor. He edited our show, and now he's got guys that are working for him. A guy by the name of Matt Covington's been our editor for our show for the last 4 years now, and doing a phenomenal job putting together what we can get laid down throughout the year, And the thing about film is, and what we really try and do is try to tell a story through the lens. And I know you hear that all the time, but what we tell our guys is film everything in a way that you wouldn't have to say a word and the viewer would know what's going on without adding anything to it. And if you do that, then the talking, the commentary, whatever you use on top of that just adds to it. And finding that story in each hunt, that's kind of what we try and focus on, because we're kind of like what you said a while ago. We don't have a ton of deer. I mean, we have deer where we live. We don't have the Iowa deer, the Illinois deer, the Kentucky deer. And now we get to go to some of those places, yes, but we just don't have that where we live. So we've kind of had to focus on that story. What's the story behind this hunt? Whether it takes 3 years or it takes 3 days, there's a story in everything. And that's what people relate to, is a story. It's really good if you can have the visual along with it, but people will even watch a good story, even if the footage is not that great,
So how do you do that though? Because that's probably one of the toughest things to do, is find the story. Are you guys going out trying to create a story that's in your head, or are you guys just kind of playing it like, here's what's going on, and then it kind of just evolves into something?
It's kind of like we're here's what's going on, and just kind of let it play out. And then, starting to think about what all happened after it's already happened, and where is the story in that? We're not trying to make a story up. We do what we do, and somewhere along the way, inevitably, it may be a really, really good story, or it just may be a decent story. You can't always have just an amazing story with every single hunt, but there is something in there that you can get that will connect some people to it, but we're always, it's let it play out, and then let's evaluate what we have on the back end and see where's the story in here.
Yeah. I think speaking about that quality and the video upgrades, I feel like that's always evolving. I remember when we, and we kind of had similar production changes on our side over time. Like even today, God, I just upgraded my camera again today for podcasting, right? We're always thinking about that next step. There were times where we would go out and Dave would propose, he's like, listen, guys, I think we need to spend, $7,000 on this slow-mo camera. I think, what was it? The Sony F5?
RX, it was RX, yes. 5 or something, and it, now it's obsolete again because
and it's great and it works well, but then there's always that next thing and the next thing, and it's expensive, right? To always be upgrading.
Oh,
but that's just something you have to do.
Yeah.
Yes, and if you're gonna keep up with the with production and what's going on, eventually, yes, you have to upgrade. But, I mean, you can get carried away and you can upgrade every single year because they're coming out with something new every single year.
I'm not going to do it.
You hear that, Dave? You can get carried away, Dave. You can get carried away.
I just upgraded.
Oh, I'm holding it. you did.
We just upgraded. So for years, we used Canon for years. We started with like the T5i, mm-hmm. T6i, T7i, yep. T8i, whatever. Then we switched to Sony. Mm-hmm. We did the A7 II. We did the A7 III now. And then we got rid of Sony and we went to Panasonic. And now we're running the whatever their main, I forgot the name of it. It's the main one. Like there, I think it's like $2,000. But we're running that now as our mm-hmm. main like test lab camera. And then we have another Panasonic to write. And the reason I like the Panasonic was the workflow with the compression on the 4K, because the right. Sony was okay, but the Sony had, I could never get the focus right. It was always an issue for me. So Canon was the best, in my opinion. Panasonic was the second best with this focus issue. And then Canon wasn't good because the compression was a good disaster. I mean, for you, it's fine because you guys are doing like very mm-hmm. high quality. My videos need to be on this little screen. They're not on a big TV. Right. So I don't need like 8K type stuff. I don't need 4K, true 4K. I just need the small mm-hmm. YouTube 4K, right? So compressed, completely compressed. But what was happening is I would get the Canon file and when I go to edit Final Cut, it would be like, it would just like jerk and you couldn't really do anything with it. It was so big, every, you know, 60 gigs for 1 minute of video or something crazy.
I'll never forget that. There was a period of time we would go through production and Dave would start yelling at us, "You're wasting 4K. You're wasting 4K.
Because it was so big. I couldn't edit. I'm like, shut it off. You know, between cuts, turn it off, you know, just because you just couldn't, it was just too much to bear. And now with the Panasonic stuff, the GH4 or GH5 now too is one I got. It is a great camera. And like we don't have no production, no process issues. And it's good enough for what we're doing is, you know, and we use iPhones for different clips for this stuff. We use GoPros. We use, sometimes I'm filming alone, I'll use the DJI Pocket 2 and the thing follows you. It's like the perfect in the field tool, because if you're by yourself, you could just click your face and it will follow you to a certain degree back and forth. So, and you can mm-hmm. put a wireless mic, cause you can hook into the USB-C with a little Rode wireless. So technically, for someone like you, if you're in the field and you kill the deer and you want to talk about it and move a little bit, it'll follow you. It's incredible. But you know, when you guys look like you guys are shooting something in a red here, were you guys using a red lately or?
No. Everything we're running is Sony's now.
Oh, Sony. Okay.
Now everyone except for me has upgraded this year. Everyone's upgraded to the A7S 4 or whatever the newest one they've got that does the slow-mo and everything. And I'm running the A7 III still, and I can't make myself do it yet. I can't.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I can shoot some 1080 slow-mo, and that's what we're broadcasting in anyway. So I can't make myself do it yet. I probably will have to next year, but for a 2 or 3 second clip, when all the other guys have got it, I'll just let them get the slow-mo clip.
Right.
So you guys are on Carbon TV as well, right?
Yeah. So we, Pursuit Channel is our main TV outlet, and then Carbon TV, and then actually Waypoint TV also
nice.
Is another digital outlet that we have a lot of stuff on. We've worked with those guys since they started, and I really like their platform. I like their app-based platform that they have, and they do a really good job of pushing your content out and stuff.
Yeah, I've never actually looked at Waypoint. I never realized that was a separate network like that, but that's pretty cool. I have to look into that one. I never mm-hmm. noticed that. You guys are on Carbon TV, Waypoint, Pursuit Up, which is, I'm assuming, they're mobile.
Yeah, that's their digital. Yeah,
they're digital, and then Prime Video, which is awesome. So you guys are on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. And your where is it at? Sorry, I just had it up. Your Carbon ratings 8.2. That's a really good rating.
That is
8.2 is good, man. That's a really good job.
Yeah,
I think we're at like 7.7. So good job, nice job. I wanted to talk about your partners. So you guys got a lot of, actually, no, before we do that, sorry, before we do the partners, I want to talk about your podcast. So you got the Tour 12 podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So yeah, we're probably, I guess we've done two seasons of that, 2 years that we've had that. That's kind of our fun project. You know, I love doing this kind of stuff, just like, you know, like what you said, I love talking to people and hearing stories and things like that. And so that was kind of Heath and I's just a little fun project that we started. It kind of gained some ground. We started it more as a business leadership type podcast, I guess. I mean, yeah, because we're in the hunting industry, there's a lot of hunting talk that goes on with it. But a lot of it was, you know, things to think about to be successful no matter what you're doing. And like I said, we've kind of taken a break through the summer here. We haven't done any for probably 2 months now. But I'm sure as soon as we start getting rolling and hunting and back in camps when we're together a lot, then we'll kind of start knocking a few of those out again. Trade show season was always a time that we did a lot of that. And, you know, as y'all know, this year we haven't had much of that. So,
right.
Been a little bit difficult getting connected face-to-face with people anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys, it looks like you guys did an episode with Tom Taylor from SIG. That's pretty cool.
Yes. And I was personally not on that episode, but yeah, Heath and Cody actually did that episode with him.
So were they at the hunt camp? It said that you guys were at a hunt camp with them. Were you guys there with him, or was he there when you guys were there?
They were there. They were all there together. So, SIG and Expedition, the Expedition crew and the Given Right crew were all together.
Oh, that's right. Because they sponsor that. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, because SIG is a sponsor of theirs, and Heath and the guys, they produce the Given Right television show also.
Yes, yep, I remember that, yeah. That's cool. That's an interesting person to have at the hunt camp for the SIG Sauer company, because you wonder, like, what's this guy going to use to hunt, you know? Like, which handgun, yeah. Or is he going to use a handgun, or maybe they probably got rifles, don't they? They have ARs, now I think about it.
Yeah, they have, yeah, exactly.
Oh, so he's probably... Yeah.
Yeah, I believe they were all using their AR platform guns in that at that.
Yeah,
hunt.
Probably. I actually bought a 6-hour P365 carry gun. It's amazing. It's a really nice gun.
We got some
So Brandon, talking about all the different content you do, the podcast, the show, all that kind of stuff. When you look back on it over the course of time, what have been some of those most memorable moments that you've had?
For me, it's the hunts that I've got to spend in the tree with Heath. I mean, he and I have hunted together. I mean, he films me, I film him. I mean, we hunt together a lot. And, I mean, we have had some of the best times. I mean, from... just laughing until you know, till you're almost messing your hunt up to the point. And just, I mean, that time in a tree with him, and I mean, we've killed some really good deer together. But it's not even that. I mean, it's just time spent in those camps and meeting people. And that's my favorite part. I've met so many great people across this country, and, you know, all through hunting. And And it never fails. You get together in a hunting camp, no matter what your beliefs are, otherwise or throughout life. I mean, just being in camp with guys, everybody has that common bond, you know, bow hunting. And that's my favorite part. It's always the camp. It's always the people that I get to meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard this story one time from somebody in the industry, and this was at ATA. They told me this story, and I thought it was the funniest thing. They said that they're at a hunt camp, and Luke Bryan came to the hunt camp, and he showed up in a tour bus. And when he got out, he walked down. He's like, "Who's ready for some hunting, bitches?" And he had 2 bottles of Grey Goose. And like, he doesn't care. It's no longer about like, "Hey, I'm a rock star. I do all this stuff." It's about like, "Yeah, hey, let's go hunting." You know,
everybody, no one cares
about your job. You know,
everybody's like, just a hunter.
It's so funny.
And that's, you know, people are like, "This guy's so down to earth," or "This guy's..." I mean, we're all the same. We're all hunters. We're all there for the same reason, bow hunting, whatever it is we're bow hunting. I mean, we all have that same love. And,
yeah,
you know, everybody, nobody's any better or any different than anyone else there.
Yeah, that's the best. Right. So as far as all your guys' sponsors and supporters and all that, you guys have a lot of great names on here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Expedition's one of the big ones we've talked about. We work with Expedition as well on doing some of the stuff we do. Wasn't that an interesting bow they launched, though, with the different material, the Magnite, whatever? It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes.
So cool. Yes. Now, do you guys do any...
You remember when we tried to call them out on we got them on a podcast, right? The day that they started their marketing and all that stuff. And maybe even the day that they launched it, but they didn't actually officially say what it was yet. We tried to call them out on,
telling us
what it was. And they refused, but we
had them on live too. And it was going nuts. People were like, oh, I'll give you $20. And and Chris wouldn't budge. We were trying to get something out of them. Like then they had it there, but they wouldn't show us. They show us like the cam or something. It's so funny. Exactly. Now, do you guys do mixed like gun and bow?
Yes, we do some gun hunts. Most of the gun hunting that we do is later in the year, and it usually takes place in Texas. Kind of after everything's already done. We've got several guys that we've become really good friends with down there over the years. That have some big places to hunt, and they're in the Texas managed land development programs and things like that. So later on in the year, when they get through, if they do run outfitting deals or whatever, they get through with their clients or whatever, and they still have excess tags that they need to fill, we'll kind of go down there some and help those guys out and shoot some, get a show for us and then help them fill some of those doe tags and management buck tags, things like that. And it ends up being, it's fun to go do at the end of the year,
Yeah, that's cool. Have you ever taken a deer or maybe any animal with a pistol?
I have not, no.
This is my thing. This is what I'm working on right now as we speak. I'm trying to I got this thing in my head. So we started our Gun Hunter Planet segment, which is a different than Bow Hunter Planet, but... So I was talking to those guys on their show because they're starting a podcast that's different. I joined them on the podcast because one of my goals in life, like a lot of archers' goals are to use a traditional bow. And that's great. Like I wouldn't mind using a traditional bow at some point. But one of the goals I have is I want to shoot a deer with a pistol. So I went through this huge transition to try to find out like what's the best gun for shooting a deer with a pistol. And like I went online and there's people shoot deer with everything online. So on YouTube there's like a 9mm. I mean, stuff you wouldn't even think that would be good enough. They're killing deer with it. I'm like, wow. So I go into a gun store here in Michigan here today. I went in to Cabela's and then they didn't have any 10mm or 44 or anything like that. So I end up going to a small shop and I asked the guy, I said, what do you think about gun hunting with deer hunting with a pistol? Like, what's your recommendation? He said a 454. And I'm like, 454? And he's like, yeah. Well, I go, is that bigger than a 44? He said, yeah. And I said, well, he goes, it's about $2 a round to shoot. And I said, well, what's the advantage of that? He said, well, it's a huge round, but the good news is, he goes, when you're done with that, you can shoot a 45 Colt, I think he said, in that same chamber. So I said, okay. So I'm like, I don't think I want to do that. I really don't want a revolver. Like I kind of want a Glock type gun. I want, like a 10mm type Glock is my thought. So I call my buddy Bob on the way home, talking to Uncle Bob, and we're talking. He's like, nah. He goes, I would just do the 10mm, because it's a Glock. You use it for other stuff, It's not like you're just gonna he's like, plus a 10mm is nice to shoot. And let's just say you're gonna go 30 yards or less. Who cares then? It's not gonna be a huge deal.
Right.
So Bob recommended the Glock 40, which has the MOS where you can put a sight on it, like a red dot, which is a longer gun, a 6-inch gun. And I said, well, I think I want the Glock 20, which is like a 4-inch barrel, because then I could use it for other things. And if I'm only going to shoot 25 yards, what does it matter? And my thought would be go iron sight, because maybe this might be pushing it.
You're making it so hard on yourself.
I might be pushing when I say this, guys. I think I can get off 2 or 3 rounds in this deer within a couple seconds. I might be pushing it, but if I can pop off just boom, 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 boom. I think I have a chance to hit it two or three times. So if the blood's not great, at least if I hit it multiple times, it might drop.
I have a feeling what this is going to involve is up setting up some zip lines from tree to tree. And you'll start off in one, you'll zip line down the other. But in the meantime, while you're zip lining, you're going to take that deer at the same time. You're just going to, as you're going.
It's a tree saddle. Tree saddle you're talking about. Brandon, yeah. You don't know this guy named Jamie, but I can tell you right now, this is setting up some really angry conversations with Jamie when I shoot this thing with a pistol. What did you do that for? There's not even blood. We got to go on the neighbor's property.
Freaking 10 shots later.
You have to go up there and ask permission. You got to go.
The deer on the property. What are you doing?
I heard a whole clip. I heard a whole magazine layout. What was going on up in that hill? But anyways, I'll just tell you guys this. I bought that Glock today. Done.
Nice.
I found it on Cabela's.com. Glock 20. So it's the shorter one. So this makes Tim happy now because it opens up a gun spot for him that he wanted anyway. Because now I have to go close.
Well, now you have to only shoot 30 yards. So yeah.
Exactly. So it works out good. With the property on, there's only two gun hunters.
Probably more like 15 feet, but we'll see.
Yeah, probably 5 feet. To be honest, but my thought would be to take my longer gun with me and then have the option, but we'll see. I don't know. I don't really care. I just think it'd be cool to harvest.
No, man, you got to commit. That's the deal, man. You can't take a backup. Then it gets into your head.
Right. Like, no, oh, you're right.
You got to commit, man.
I'm committing. Yeah. Brandon's our witness. I'm committing. We're doing this.
Definitely. Yes. That will be rad if you get that pulled off.
I bought some rounds too. It was hard to find ammo for that damn thing, but I found some. I'm going to shoot. I found 250 rounds of 10 mil full metal jacket for practice. So my goal is to at least shoot 100 rounds of that to practice. And then I bought one box at $50 for 20 of a hunting round. And that's it. Like one magazine. And Bob said he'd give me 10 shells too if I need them.
You're going to drop all 20. You're going to drop clip after clip, you know, when you're shooting that. I can just see you. I'm going to be sitting out in the field. And, you know, my spot, I can see out and see the big field and all that. I'm going to be seeing some guy running in orange, chasing a deer, firing off rounds. I can already see it.
That's going down. And I have to do that, Tim, because if I don't, Jamie will freak out when I hit it one time and there's no blood trail.
Love it.
Tactical deer hunting.
So, Brandon, we know what Dave's plans are for the rest of this year. What do you got going on for the rest of – what are your plans? What do you have going on hunt-wise?
Oh, so – I did not draw any out-of-state tags this year, so really? I'm hunting states that are over the counter this year. So
Michigan,
obviously, I'll hunt. I don't know about Michigan.
Like, he's like, nah.
I don't know about Michigan.
I gotta deal with that where I live. I don't want to drive up there to deal with it too.
It's probably worse here.
Obviously here in Arkansas, which we actually open a week from Saturday. I actually just missed. I was supposed to go to Kentucky last week. Was it last week? Whenever their opener was, I was supposed to go there. Two of our guys hunted over there and killed a pretty nice buck in velvet in Kentucky. I had some obligations that came up and couldn't get over there. So I'm going to try and get back there maybe end of October, that last week of October, and then may jump on up to Ohio that first week of November, and then you know, I'll be hunting here in Arkansas through that time. May try and slide out to Nebraska if I can fit it in there, and then once December gets here, I'll kind of go to Texas. Like, we usually go down there once in December and then once again in January.
Do you guys hunt with, when you hunt in Ohio, who do you hunt with there?
A guy, Shag Trent is his name, TNB Outfitters. He kind of runs a little different outfitting deal. He's got farms, and he basically just says, you know, here's a couple farms and have at them.
Yeah, cool. Talk about your setup. So we know it's Expedition Bow, but what broadheads are you guys using?
Yes. We shoot the QAD Exodus full blade. I shoot 100 grain. Shooting a Victory VAP TKO arrow, 300 spine. I shoot the 95 grain insert on the front, so I'm shooting right at 200 up front on a 28-inch arrow. Weighs about 505, I think, is what my total arrow weight is on that arrow.
Okay.
What about sight?
Spot hog, fast Eddie, two pin is what nice. That's my preferred sight. He's shooting that same sight. I believe everybody is right now. I love that sight for whitetail hunting. I can set that thing on 20 and then I've got a 20 yard pin and the speed of my bow, I'm 20 to 37, I think is that second pin there. So, I mean, I'm covered to 40 yards pretty much without having to touch it.
Are you guys, so which one of these quiet cats you rocking out?
Actually we are still running some of the old original quiet cats.
Yeah,
the cool. the very first ones that they made. And you know, still doing well.
Those things got to be a lot of fun, huh?
Yes, you have to be careful.
I was just saying, pretty fast.
I learned that in Ohio the first year we took them to the in southern Ohio in those hills in the mornings. It's you gotta be careful.
You gotta wake up a little bit before you get on that.
Absolutely. I crashed and burned a couple times.
That would suck too if your bow slaps that ground. Dang.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yes, it was. I had it on my backpack, so luckily I didn't. I caught myself before it hit the ground.
They're
very handy though. That's I was pretty skeptical when we first started using those bikes about how useful they would be, but man. I had no idea how useful those would be. Just even like if you're crossing a field or something, say it's a big cornfield that you've got across that's picked and it's early in the morning. I mean, where you walk across that field and it takes you 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you're just exposed out there for that amount of time. With that bike, you can zip right across there in 2 minutes. You're across the field, out of the way. And, you know, multiple times we've done that and had deer cross right behind us after we were in, you know, just getting set up in a tree. Had we not been on those bikes, we would have been still walking across that field when that deer was trying to come across.
Yeah, you know? they're scentless too, right? I mean, it's battery powered, so no fumes or anything.
No sound. Yeah. Plus, you can hide it in the bushes or hide it in a tree, down tree.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, even we've had deer see them. You know, we didn't get them hid good enough or not, and I don't know that we've ever had a deer booger from them.
I changed my mind on what I think is going to happen this year. Now, what I think is going to happen is Dave's going to go out, and we're going to have to buy one of these.
I have one.
He's going to be sitting in the woods on this thing. See a deer come out. He's going to be chasing it down with his pistol.
I like that idea, Tim. I did a video on a e-bike. It wasn't the Quiet Cat brand, but a different one. And I had taken it from my house through a park by my house. It's close. And we live in the city. We're like an urban area. And there's a lot of deer in this park. So anyhow, I took it off-roading. I went through the back roads in the trails. And I'm going through the trails. And I came up on like 5 deer and they didn't even know I was coming. Like literally they were just sitting there grazing. I'm like 10 yards from them and I'm like going by, stop. And they didn't even look at me. And when I started going again, they looked up and ran off. And I was thinking, this is incredible. Like this is something the market is not really taking understanding yet, you know, like what you could do with something like this. Being that you can travel a 2-track dead quiet and get out to a spot is really incredible when you think about it. And you know, you make less noise. You know, there's no sound. I mean, it's really incredible. It's gotta be a lot quieter than walking, you know, you figure back and forth.
Way.
And then, you know, this,
especially two guys. I mean, you're running two guys and walking and in and out and ground scent, and it does not take long for deer to figure out what's going on, you know, and those things have made a difference for sure. For us.
Yeah, I love them. I do have heartburn with the prices of them. I feel like they're pretty dang pricey. And I think once I think that's the reason they haven't blown up as much as you would think, not just them, but any brand in that market. And I do feel like if the prices come down to like under $1,000, I think you would find a lot more people buying them. But at, you know, one here is like $6,700, you know, I mean, it's kind of a four wheeler. You know what I mean? Like So I get it. And, you know, they're a great brand and all that, but it just, you got to get that. You got to get under that, you know, $1,000 mark. I feel like people got to like really be able to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like $3,000 and up is pushing it. Like, I don't see myself investing that much money just to get across a trail. But if it was low cost, you know, I would definitely consider like a cost of a bow, you know?
Yeah. But even that $1,500 mark, you know, I think that would be a,
That's a good
pretty
point.
Decent. Yeah.
And they're fun to ride. I mean, it's not like I ride it in my sub, you know, it's not like I just use it for hunting. I'm all over the place. That thing. I have it sitting outside plugged in all the time and I pop it and go, I have a good time. I'll take
you ever take it to work.
Oh geez. Your mics are a little hot there, Tim.
Oh, there you go.
Holy cow.
I'm having issues here. Hold on.
I can't tell. Holy cow. I'm about to mute your ass. to Tim's point, I have not taken it to work, even though I do think it could probably get me to work. Haven't done it though, but it's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Plus you could charge it at work. So really, you know what I mean? It'll be fully power ready to go. But yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, they're definitely a good tool.
I'll tell you, one of the partners that stuck out to me that you guys have on there is those reveal cams.
Oh yeah,
those reveal cams. Yeah. We've been using those for what, 2 years now?
2 years, yeah, since they've been out. Yeah,
and there are some other ones that we used before that had some issues with it. They just didn't work. You know, they weren't user friendly. But then this reveal camera came along and just completely changed the game when it comes to trail cams. Those things are absolutely awesome.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a better camera for the money out there. I mean, just hands down. And I would think, I the market has said that, you know, they're like finding nuggets of gold now. I mean, you can't find them anywhere. They've become so popular.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it has caused some issues though for us. And the issue that it's caused is now instead of going to hunt camp, pulling SD cards and fighting for what spot we're going to go in.
Yeah, that's the worst
when we're
part.
At hunt camp. Now we're fighting weeks in advance.
Yeah.
Because we know it's there.
yeah, that's been a problem.
Yeah.
Love it though.
So I don't know if you noticed this though, Brandon, like, so, you know, when we started working with Tacticam, the reveal last year, when it first launched the first variant, there wasn't really anybody in the market in that price point, you know?
Yeah.
And now today, if you go in, they're all trying to get back into that market. It's hilarious to see these things come from $299 down to $100. I'm looking at another brand right now that we don't work with. And I, you know, they dropped to match that price, which blows my mind, right? It's like, wow, okay. You know, where were you a couple years ago when people struggled to get this? Now you can stop milking us for all the money, you know? Hey, okay. So
yes.
What a great product though, man. It's worked so great.
We have some awesome partners. I mean, there's a lot of guys that we've been with for a long time, and that's kind of, you know, that's our MO. We want to build relationships and help them, you know, sell more product or develop more product and you know, keep doing what we get to do.
Absolutely,
man. Yeah, thank you for being on the show. Go to struttonbuck.com to learn more about what Brandon does and his crew. Amazing stuff. And you can get to all their social media plugs or pages from there, I should say, and their podcasts. Everything's right there. So pretty cool.
Yeah, nice talking
to
you, Brandon. I appreciate you joining, man.
You bet. Thanks for having us. Anytime.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off
Buy Rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.